Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Well, hello, everybody. How are ya? I looked across the church today, and I see all these people that are from Beth's family. They have this, you know, I thought they would be crazy looking. Because if you know Beth, you know crazy, right? I mean, we have to actually put Beth in a booth back there surrounded by walls so that she doesn't, like, run around the building like the kids do up here. Oh, yeah, you were ready for me, weren't you? You never argue with somebody with a microphone, and you never argue with a sound person. I'm forgetting the two rules of public speaking. Thank you for putting me in my place back there. I love you, Beth. Well, it's good to have all the families here. I was telling Pastor Barry, that is the most spectacular baby dress I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, wow. Did you make that? Oh my gosh. You are like Beth. I love it. We're so glad you guys are here today. I also want to give a shout out to my wife's parents who are here over there. They came and they are in town because we had four graduations this weekend. I have my oldest son, Michael, who you'll see a video on in a couple weeks, graduating high school. Then my niece graduates high school this afternoon from CHS, so we're headed there after here. And then my oldest daughter, Lauren, and my son-in-law, Zach, graduated from Missouri State from college this weekend. So it's been a party over at our house, let me tell you. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, the Lord even jokes with me all the time because every time I've only lived in our new house for about 15 months and I've had two outdoor parties, and for both of them, the day before, we had a major monsoon, water all over the place, tree pollen knocked down on freshly cleaned things outside where we were going to hang in, and it's just kind of funny. I'm like, Lord, you have a great sense of humor, you know? You really do. I'm actually going to plant another one just so I can have them do it again. Trash the place, you know? But that's what the heaven of fun relationship with Christ is all about is, you know, he has a great sense of humor. I mean, I was literally laughing the whole time. We're all getting wet, dragging everything in. I mean, we had all the food set outside. Okay, let's eat. Raindrops started falling down, and it's like, run for your lives, because it blew in 30 seconds, and it was just downpour. It's hilarious. You can't even make this stuff up, you know. It's fun. But that's what I'm going to talk about today. Pastor Barry said the last two core values. He said, well, you got to wrap everything up and put a bow on it. And you get two. So he said, I get twice as much time today to speak to you. So I said, okay, if I get twice as much time, I'll do it. So we are going to be talking about community and congregation. And as I was praying about this series and talking to you about this, I believe the Lord showed me some things about it that is really neat, because in our minds we'll automatically think they're the same thing. You know, well, it's really that much different between the congregation and the community, but I believe there's a pretty big difference between the two, that we have to list them separate. And I love discipleship, and I love making sure that people learn what the Word of God says, because we know that that's where our power comes from, is that Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. And the Bible says that God has given each of us a measure of faith. So you can't say that you don't have it. So when someone says, well, I don't have faith, I'm like, yeah, you do. You just may not know that you do, but you do have faith to believe. If you have faith to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have faith to be healed. And we saw Nate today demonstrating that. That's how it works. When you have that faith. But where we're going, and I'm gonna start with our verses today with community, which is Acts chapter 2. Verses 44 to 46. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know what's neat about that is I don't see the word all the believers were in isolation together, locked in their homes, not talking to each other. But you know, isn't that what the enemy does though? You don't really need to be a part of what's going on there. You can just learn just fine being at home, reading some book. But no, there's something special about community. And I like to look at it as common unity. Common unity. Think about that for a minute. We all have the same thing in common. All the believers were together, like we are today, in the temple. And we had everything in common. Jesus is our common denominator. And we have many other common denominators. That's what brings us together. And there's small groups here. We came to the temple every week, and you know, 30 minutes on a Sunday morning is not going to be enough for you to make it. And let's just be honest. As we all like to think we're good teachers and all that kind of stuff, or we know what we're doing. But you know what? You need more than that. And the Lord designed community, this common unity, for us to get together outside of church, live our lives together. I've had to take Benadryl 2 of the last 3 days, just like many of you in here. But whatever it takes to keep us all together is what this common unity is all about. And however we have to do that, and whatever that looks like, I love our small group that we have. And there's another small group. There's a couple small groups in the church right now. I really am hoping that after today that you will be inspired to join a small group. That's part of discipleship, is that there has to be devotion to four things. Teaching, fellowship. Well, you all got that down pretty good. Breaking of bread. Nobody can smash a pan of brownies like I can. And looking at you guys, you all got the old eating thing down. And to prayer, those four things. So what can we do to increase, if we really have fellowship down fairly well, breaking of bread, pretty good, what do we got to do more with the teaching and the prayer? What does our life have to look like to get common unity in our teaching and our prayer? And that's what I've been thinking about is, how can we do that and what does it look like? But before I go there, let's go on to congregation, which is the next set of verses, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. It says, so Christ gave himself, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God to become more mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, which is the whole limit, whole measure. I want my whole measure of what Christ has for me. Nothing less. In verse 16, I'm going to jump down to that. It's not in the original text, so don't worry about following along. I'll read it to you. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we're connected to God and then we're connected to people, then that's when all these miracles can happen. It's how it has to happen. That's our formula for success. God gave it to us. I was explaining this to somebody just in my office this week. They were telling me, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, but you know what? I can't forgive my mother-in-law from stuff that she's done since we've been married. I can't do it. And I said, you know, you're right, maybe you can't. But I said, when you go home tonight, and the next time you get alone with God, I want you to pray one specific thing, if you would. And she said, well, what is that? I said, Lord, Pray this way. Pray, Lord, give me the full measure of your agape love that your word promises to me. And I said, then watch and see what happens, because without that full agape love, you cannot love other people the right way. I can't love my wife right if I don't love God right. It's heavy, but it's true. You can't do it. You can't even love your kids right if you don't love God right. Everything starts with the love that he gives us, and then it flows out of us to other people. That's why you can forgive those who hate you. Forgive those who persecute you, who abuse you, who go out of their way to make your life hell. How are you able to forgive somebody like that if you don't have this agape love that our whole community and the common unity is founded on? There's no way you can. No way. You will fail, and then you'll be coming back and saying, Lord, help me. I failed again. Lord, help me. And you can do that for 40 or 50 years if you want to. I don't recommend it. But people do this because they get in the pattern. So it all starts with the love that God gives us, and then when we have that love and we accept it, then we come into the common unity of believers, and then the congregation you become a part of right away, and it's our job as a church, as your pastoral leaders in all these areas, to teach you, to equip you for works of service. That's our job. And I like to add, not just works of service, but also to help you find your kingdom position. What is it that God designed you to do? Our job as leaders is to get to know you so that we can call out the gifts that you have and then show you how to use them for God's glory. That's what we do. That's what we should be doing. But then it extends from the congregation to the common unity. Because as we are in covenant with God, and then when we come into the congregation, we're in covenant with each other, then we have community, which is, let me back up, on congregation, this represents who we are and what we become in Christ. Then it moves to the community, the common unity, and this is how we live and how we draw people to God. So it flows in that order. So I want to make sure I'm presenting the right order to you. So how we live should draw people to us. And they will. I want to see this. I don't know about you, but I would love to see a sign and wonder and a miracle right now. Is there anybody else? Am I the only one? All right, I got a double hand on the back. All right, I see you. Chris, we're going to have church, baby. But it's true. That's what I really want. I pray that all the time over you, over this place, over the people here, that God will pour himself out this way where as we devote ourselves to the teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread in our groups, and to prayer in our own personal life, there's a reason why Judas knew where to bring the crowd to find Jesus. Judas knew exactly where Jesus would be at that same time every single day because he was devoted to prayer. He knew exactly where to find him. There was no mystery. I wonder, okay, mob, grab your torches and pitchforks. We're going to go scouring the town looking for Jesus, knocking on doors. All he did was say, come follow me. I'm going to kiss the guy and then it's over. If we're devoted to prayer that much, people should be able to look at our life and be able to say, oh, I know that person's devoted. I know where they're at right now. I can't even bother texting them. It'll be an hour before I hear back because your phone's going to be off and you're going to be out with the Lord talking to him, right? This connection that we have with God is what leads us to spiritual maturity and then ultimately into our kingdom position. And that's why small groups is so powerful. Now, Dexter's not here, and I'm going to pick on him. I'm going to use him as an example. So that way, if he listens to this later, he can have a little fun with it. But most of you know Dexter if you've been a part of the church, how he came into the church, I mean, really almost starting over from square one. I mean, he'd been in church, but never connected with any of it. And this just proves you can be around church and grow up in church, and you can even be raised in a Christian home and yet never connect with God. It's possible. It happens all the time. So when he came into the group and he started literally devoting himself to teaching and to prayer and to the group, getting together, spiritual maturity is a function of time, but not like it is from the physical standpoint. When we had four kids, they start out at 0 years old, eventually get to 18, right? That's what we say is a mature adult. You're out in the world on your own. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Make a way in the world. But, you know, spiritual maturity is not 18 years. You can be spiritually mature in a couple years if you really fully devote yourself to this. If you really get connected and learn this way and are in this group and your people are holding you accountable to what you're doing and helping you, praying for you, showing faith and building faith with you, you could do it that quick. And if you ask, you know, Dexter, he'll tell you, you know, is he how committed he is. He's like, I'm going to get it. You know, last Sunday, it was heartwarming for me because in the prayer room back there, I said, come on, Dexter, you're going to be praying with me today. So we as we prayed for people, we prayed together with people. And I just thought it was the neatest thing. It's like bringing someone through all that is, I can't tell you how much fun that is. And where he is, have confidence in knowing that he's doing it. You have to start where you are. It is a process. It is a journey. And that's what we're all here to help. That's what the common unity is all about, is that we're here to back each other up and to encourage each other. And that's what I highly encourage you to join a small group. You might have done them before and they might not have been what you thought it was, or maybe they did something different. But for every small group that's starting, I mean, I will be meeting with the leader of that group and we're going to do them all a particular way. Because we want this right here. We want common unity. And you know, when you think of the last thing that Jesus did with his disciples, the last evening where they had communion, and he said, every time you do this, remember me. Remember what I did. Common union. Communion. He set us up to be in unity. And every time that we do something, it should be unifying and drawing ourselves together. And it got me thinking about, remember the other time in the Bible where there was so much unity among the people that God had to mess it up? Tower of Babel? Babel, Babel, whatever. Potato, potato. But with that unity being so strong, he knew that they could do anything if they came together and had the same mind, same value system, same language, same common denominator. They would be unstoppable. Is this starting to ring a bell? This is the army of the Lord. That's who we're supposed to be. We are to be the unstoppable ones. When we show up there, our common unity and our common union should be so obvious that people around there should, okay, if there was fear and panic, there shouldn't be that anymore now. You've just showed up. But as I'm saying this, there's going to be people that say, well, you know, I don't have time to do small group. Well, then my response to you would be that you're too busy. Because if you don't have time to live in common unity, our common union, then really, I would say, in my perspective, is I wouldn't know what the point of life would be. Because if this Bible is not true, and if what Jesus did is not true, my wife will tell you, I got a honey-do list a mile long. I could be doing something else right now. But I don't, because I know that Bible, this word, is more real than what you and I live in the three-dimensional world right now. It is real. True dimension real. But that's the enemy's job, is to isolate you and to get you to think, I'm okay on my own. I've made it this far. And you can do some things on your own. But we need to understand what being together actually does for us. We don't understand how being together is a multiplied effort. Now, my son Michael, who's graduating over there, is better at math than anybody in here. He is. He doesn't need a calculator. He can look at a problem and solve it without even doing all the steps. Because that's how his brain works. Mine, of course, does not work like that. It's generation skipping, as I say. But if I were to ask him what 1 + 1 is, I know he's going to be able to answer that. In fact, telepathically, I know he knows the answer. Well, you're going the right direction, son. But not high enough. Because when we understand the power of us being together, doesn't Proverbs say one can put 1,000 to flight? 2, 10,000? So when we understand what God's trying to do through all of us here, when 1 + 1 = 10, that adds a whole nother dimension to what spiritually is going on in our lives when we're around the other believers in these groups, devoting ourselves to this teaching in prayer. Because again, you got the fellowship and the food thing down. That's understood at this point. Don't have to say those. So, my father-in-law is here today. And this just works great. I love how God does all this stuff. Works it all out. Yeah, I got the glove. He is the most handy man I've ever met in my life. He is the standard I compare everybody else to. And it's the truth. And he can fix anything. He was a mechanic for years. If you ask him, you know, about cars or fixing anything, he can figure out a way to fix it. Doesn't matter what it is. And him and his ability, although it is amazingly great, and a lot of you have a physical ability that is better than most people at certain things. But if he were to join into the common unity and the communion, and his hand becomes part of the body, right? Uh-oh, the glove fits. If he were to do that, and then now he's part of the body. It's not just a hand out there by itself doing good, but now it's an anointed hand, because now a hand by itself can only do so much. It takes, you know, bones to connect this hand to the body. It takes blood vessels, sinews, ligaments, tendons, nerves for it to work right. So you can be a dead hand out there, thinking you're doing good in your own ability. But in the end, it takes connection to something greater than you to be used in a way that blesses people way beyond you being able to help them with something in their immediate need. 1 + 1 = 10. 1 + 1 = 10. I hear you, Bryce. Maybe I should take this hand over with me. You know what, Bryce? Back when Jesus commissioned the disciples, there was a special thing that he did. And then he said, grab your buddy, and I'm going to release you under my power by twos. Twos. There's a reason for this. 1 + 1 = 10. He didn't say, go out there all by yourself. Find a way in the world. We hope you make it to that town without the banditos getting you. I hope you don't fall down and get hurt and just lay there on the ground until a good Samaritan comes by. No, he didn't do that. He said, you have to go by two. You have to have your buddy. isn't just for personal protection. It's the spiritual side of it. It's the spiritual side. Because the power that he was releasing through them, it takes communion and community for it to work. That's underpinning everything here. There's a lot of people who want to be in spiritual authority without being in covenant with God. They can prophesy great on the parking lot to you, but they won't come into the church and get in common unity and communion with the people here. But they want to come start speaking over your life. Be careful. There's people who have great ability to sing, and they can't tie in under spiritual authority because they won't get connected to God right first. And they're like, well, how come they won't let me sing? Or how come they won't let me do whatever? And you might be thinking about something else. I've been trying to do this at church or trying to do this over here. Why does it never work? May I suggest to you that maybe your approach is wrong. Connect with God first. Connect with his people second. Become part of the congregation. And then let it flow through common unity. And then it's amazing when that happens. People start to say, you know, I see that gift in you. I think we should do this. And then you didn't have to try. It just happens. That's how it works. But we want to shortcut everything. But you know what? It would happen faster for you if we all come in this way and not try to talk ourselves out of, I don't need communion. I don't need community. You need this more than you think you do. When we got together for breakfast yesterday morning, the men did, it was the best blessing to me in a long time, and you all don't even know it. Because if the Lord has taught me anything, I try to glean from other people's anointings. Because that's the power of common unity, is that I glean from people. I take the best of your anointing and your gifts, and I say, I want that. And when I spend time talking to him, I get it. And when I spend time talking to Earl yesterday, you really blessed me, brother. You are a blessing. I'm so glad you're here. I gleaned from you yesterday. You might not even know it. Maybe you felt it. I don't know, but I'm pulling on you. That's what I kept doing. I wanted to see what else was in there. I wanted to squeeze that man and see what came out. I love you. I'm glad you're here. I want my full measure of Christ. And the only way that I believe that we can get that through what Scripture tells us here is through community. That's why he made it. Signs, wonders, miracles will flow through community. That's where he put it. You know what? If I was God, I would have done it different. But guess what? I'm not God. But this is what he did. He said all the believers had to be together, and they have to have everything in common. If we're not common in our union, then we're not going to get the benefit of being in common union. We have to do this together, and we have to hold each other to it. Hey, what small group are you in? Hey, what teaching? I'm going to start classes on Sunday mornings during the summer on all kinds of different topics. When I was on vacation, sitting at the beach with my wife, watching the waves roll in, that's when it hit me. Now's the time to start. And so she got out her little iPad thing and phone and started, let's do this one, let's do that. And all these ideas came. And we're going to do it. And it goes along with this. When you devote yourselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, this is what creates our community. So yes, I'm going to ask you to drag yourself out of bed a little earlier to come hear something from someone who will bless you. Because I believe this. I believe that we all can learn from each other. And when you get the synergy of 1 + 1 = 10, it doesn't matter if you've only been saved for a month. I've learned from people who aren't even saved, who don't even know who Jesus is, but I just picked up something from them that the Lord used to reinforce something in my life. It's about your position. Not necessarily the person you're talking to. It's about where you are. But we're going to try to drag everybody in here, right, Chris? I'm going to use you to do it. Well, I hope that you see the difference here and how blessed we are at this church to have the multiple generations of people here. I'm learning from all my elders, and a lot of churches don't. They're either all young or they're all full of elders. And I'm like, you know, here we have everyone. This is the picture of community, I believe, that Jesus wants us to have. Multi-generational, where they hang together, they eat together, they teach each other, they encourage each other, they build each other up. I want to see more of that. That's the direction I believe the Lord is telling us to go right now. This is so important that we get common unity and common union. And then what's going on in Nate's life, and it's not even done yet, is going to be happening more and more and more and more. You're going to have things happening with your family that you never thought possible, because that's how good he is when we get in fellowship with each other. Not just your individual giftings and talents, it's the corporate side. There's something extra special when God's people all come together. You're not fighting the war alone. The enemy wants to think you're alone. You're all by yourself. Nobody really knows what you're going through. You have nobody to talk to. That is all lies. You have all of us here, and there's people here you can trust. Our job as a church in the congregation part, as leaders, is to make this a safe place for you, where you can come in here and fit and get connected into the body so that you can do what God designed you to do. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this great service today, Lord. I know your word is powerful. We thank you, Lord, that as the word spoken today goes out over your people, I thank you even right now, you're convicting hearts and showing people what they need to do to get connected not only to you, just to accept who you are and what you've done already. That once they connect to you, receive your full measure of love, and then turn around and become part of the congregation and community. Lord, I thank you for the miracles that are coming into this house. I thank you for signs and wonders. I thank you, Lord, that as we come together, that 1 + 1 = 10. We thank you, Lord, for the presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, that we have many churches that meet here, many community-minded people that love to be here. We thank you for the many generations of people that you've blessed this place with. We thank you for every gifting, every talent, every ability. Help us as leaders to see and recognize those gifts and get them in position. We thank you, Lord, for meeting every need in the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.